Okay, good morning. We're continuing Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, the Brachos, Tav, Kuf, Pei, Hei. Today we're starting Gimel. Just interesting to point out, yesterday in the Bir Halacha on Bet is one of the very few, almost only times that the Bir Halacha, Mishneh Berurah, Chafetz Chaim, actually quotes one of his contemporaries as opposed to a Sefer. Just, okay, that's Jewish trivia. Okay, Gimel. Im hischil itkoa v'lo yachol. Okay, so a person started to blow and he wasn't able to finish. He blew one shofar, one sound, two sound, three sounds, and then he lost his energy, his voice. He couldn't blow anymore. Va'filu shlosha or ba'ah. You can have one, two, three, four ba'al tokeya. Yashlim, I skipped that. Yashlim acher. So the first guy stops wherever he stops because he can't, he loses his voice of blowing. And right, it's just not sounding right, and people don't like it. So you get someone else. Have 100 people blow even. It doesn't matter. One can blow each time. Vidai mibracha shibera harishon. And everyone is just going to rely on the first, the bracha from the first guy. Now that's obviously assuming that the blowers were there and that they heard the bracha. If they didn't hear the bracha and for them it's the first time, then they're going to say their own bracha. Okay? Let's say the Baal Tokeya gets up, he blows, he's coming to blow the shofar, he says the two brachos, right? One or two, Shachianu. He says the bracha and he's about to blow and nothing comes out. He can't blow. It's still okay. Hasheni tokeya below bracha. The second guy, this your, you know, your second guy who's there to blow as a backup. So he takes over, and he blows the first bracha, the first shofar blowing below bracha. He doesn't make a bracha because he was there. He was standing there. He already heard the bracha. So there's no hafsek. V'lo havia bracha levatala, and it's not a bracha levatala, and you don't make a new bracha. If the guy says a new bracha, that would be a bracha levatal. Okay, so that's for Gimel. And what happens if can you switch the shofar itself? So we just learned right now in this siman, the se'if, you're allowed to switch blowers. That's not a problem. The Baal Tokeya, you can have 100 of them. Can you do this? Can you have 100 shofars every time you blow from a different shofar? So you certainly can, but the Mishneh Berurah says there's one difference over here. If the first, if you say the bracha on one shofar and that's in front of you, and you don't have any other shofars in front of you, you don't have any other shofarot in front that you're thinking about, and you can't blow on that first shofar. I don't know. You find out it's pasul, it's not working, whatever it is, then you get another shofar. Since the bracha was only said on this one shofar, if you get a different shofar, then you do have to say a new bracha. It's kind of like if you make a bracha on a Sefer Torah, Talim, and you realize, whoa, it's on the wrong spot. And then you got to start rolling and go to a different spot. So, whatever, it might be comparable, but just as an analogy. But that's what he holds. Here you make a new bracha, but once you said the bracha was chal on that shofar, and you used it the first time, then for every other shofar, you don't need to make a new bracha. I'm not sure if anyone argues on him, but just pointing that out, something to think about. But obviously, if you did have other shofars in mind, or other shofars on the table, then it would work on that as well. You know, kind of like if you have wine on Kiddush, and it spills. Okay, so maybe that's a better analogy. But okay, let's go to Dalet. Acher tokeya v'lo shaliach tzibor. Now, the Baal tokeya should not be the chazan. That's how it is in most shuls, usually, I believe. But sometimes you have, it's the same person. Kedei shaloyed babel. What's the reason for this? So he doesn't get confused. The Baal tefila has to focus on the tefilas, how to say them, the order, and he doesn't want to get confused. So ve'im hu muftach. The imru muvtach shechozer letfilato rashai litkoa. Now,
wouldn't anyone be a hefsek?
Ah, So it's definitely not a hefsek, because the shofar is tefillah. We learned the shofar itself we call tefillah, and also the chazal or masakin that the shofar is supposed to be in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and they are masakin that it becomes a part of it. So therefore, it certainly wouldn't be a hefsek. It's part and parcel of the tefillah. For both reasons, they kind of go together. But even if you break it up, they're both. Like we say, Hashem Sofatai Tiftach. This is a simple example. Chazal added that pasuk into Shemona Esrei, and we clearly say that's not a hefsek from Geula LeTefila, just as an example. Okay. So what do we say? So first the Shulchan Aruch says it shouldn't be the same person, because it'll be hard for him to come back into Tefila and then not lose his place or whatever it is. V'imu muftach shechozer LeTefila so rashai litkoa. But if the person is confident, he can continue where he is, where he left off, and he'll know how to daven, and he has to know all the psukim, and there's everything you have to keep in mind, and you have to know by heart, so then it's not a problem. So then, if he's sure it won't mess him up, then he's allowed to, the chazan is allowed to be the Baal Tokea Lechatchila. And the poskim point out that nowadays, we're all davening from a machzor, so nowadays it's mutter lechatchila to have the Baal Tokea and the Shaliach Tzibur be the same person. I'm not saying if everyone would agree that that's the ideal, but mitzad halacha, it's 100% lechatchila mutter. Haga, v'davka tekiyot al seder hatfila asur lishloa l'shliach tzibur litkoa, and aval tekiyos shetokin miyushav dahainu kodem shemitpali musaf mutter l'shliach tzibur litkoa. Now, I was just saying, if you're going to make sure it's two different people, that's talking about the tkios that you do during the musaf. But the tkios that you do before musaf, that for sure is not a problem, as he's not going to get confused. He didn't start davening yet. V'im ein ha-shaliach tzibur tokeya meyushav. And if the shaliach tzibur, if he's not going to do tkios de meyushav, ra'oi she'oso ha-tokeya yitka gam kein al seder ha-brachos. So if you know you're already going to have the Baal tokeya, a separate person, do the first 30 before Musaf starts, then you should let him continue, let that person finish being the one who's blowing for the entire Musaf. Why? We have a famous principle. Ki amatchil b'mitzvah omrim lo gemor. Once you start with the mitzvah, you finish it. You don't stop in the middle. And Mishnah Berurah points out, though, if you have a clear mina kavua, again, this applies to everything. You already have your mina kavua, and you delegate. You say, and this person does this, and this person does that, and this person does that. Just as an example, maybe identical, maybe not, but as an example, let's say you have hagba and glila. So the way in an Ashkenazi shul, you have one guy does hagba, and one guy does glila. And you don't say, hamas chil b'mitzvah amrim lo gemor. Because it's already established. This is two different kibudim. One gets this and one gets that. So if you have that kind of a situation, for sure it's not a problem. And for sure don't change anything. That's just going to make a machlokas on an established minhag. Okay, let's go on. Nohagim lahakra sifnei tokeya seder hatekios mila b'mila kedei shelo yit'e v'nachonhu. So there is such a minhag, right? We do this minhag. Where whenever you're doing all the tekios, for the 100 tekios, you should always have one person, other than the Baal Tokea, let's say the Rav of the Shul or whoever, somebody, Gabbai, who calls out every tekia beforehand. So everyone's able to, it helps so that everyone's able to follow, and probably helps the Baal Tokea himself, so he doesn't have to think about, he just has to listen and just follow suit. Okay. Regarding the first tekiah, some places are makbir that they don't call out the first one, because everyone knows the first one, and he doesn't want to make a hefsek from the bracha to the tekiah. But mikar then for sure it's not a hefsek, because it's letzorach ha'inyan. It's like asking for salt even at the table for bread, and we don't call these things a hefsek. It's part of the tefillah, but there is a reason why lechatchila. If you don't need to, you might as well just start with the second one. Okay. Mishnah Berurah points out the obvious. We're going to see the Baal Tokeya and whoever, or the Rav, who's ever helping him, needs to learn the halachos of the shofar, and especially how to blow the shofar so that they don't make a mistake. Like a lot of things. If you learn the halachas, it's easy. And there's really not so many halachas that you need to know so much because you come with the kosher shofar. But if you haven't learned it well once, so then everything's complicated. Okay, hey. Hanotel sachar litkoa shofar barosh hashanah. Someone who takes money, gets paid for blowing the shofar. O kedei lihitpalel, or to daven, to be chazen. O letargim shabbatot, or to be a speaker, a maturgaman. V'yamim, translator. V'yamim tovim, on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Eino ro'e me'oto sachar, siman bracha. Okay, you got some money, but you're not going to benefit from it. You're not going to get any bracha from the money that you took from the people for a mitzvah. However, the minhag is to be meiko. The minhag is, in many places around the world, that they do pay. The only thing is it's important to make sure you do not discuss payment on Shabbos and Yom Tov itself. You discuss it ahead of time. And some people even go so far to write, it's even better to hire somebody. Because then the Baal Tefillah, it's okay, is going to take it seriously. Sometimes if everything is free, a person just says, they're not paying me anyway, I'm going to wing it. And then you end up with a winged davening. So that's
in contrast with the halacha that we had many, 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 many months ago, that if you have money only to hire a rab, or only to hire a chazen, you hire a chazen. Doesn't this seem to contrast deeply with that statement?
That's for during the week.
Okay, now we're going to start getting into some nitty-gritty halachas of the shofar. So, Aleph, shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. Now, the shofar that we use for Rosh Hashanah, mitzvato b'shel ayil v'kafuf. So ideally the mitzvah is supposed to be, we use an ayil and we use it a bent. You take a shofar that's bent over and not straight. Now, the poskim point out, Mishnah Berurah, others, an ayil is more of just of a hider, but being bent is more of an ikar takana of chazal. Again, we're going to see b'di'avad, but lechatchila, you want it to be of a ram, a male goat, a male sheep, a ram who's more than a year old, and that's closest to what was done by used by Akedas Yitzchak, mostly resembles, all right, that's the reason. The kafuf, and it should be bent because our hearts are supposed to be bent over and humbled to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But if you have to choose between an ayil versus a kafuf, So the Mishnah Berurah points out, kafuf is more important, because better to be a kafuf from a different animal than from an ayil, because that's really more ikr takana of chazal. Okay, but as much as you could be a mahadir, it's always nice. Better a male versus female, because again, that's what was by Akedas Yitzchak. And, okay, so let's keep reading. Ubediyavad. Now, if it was done, or you have no choice, you don't have anything else. Kol ha-shofaros ksherim. Every shofar from every animal is kosher. However, we're going to qualify that, so hold on. Bein pshutim, bein kfufim. So whether it's straight or bent, that's 100% mutter. You can be yotzei 100% either way, and of course you say a bracha, it's 100%. O mitzvah b'kfufim yeter mi-pshutim. And it's better to be kafuf than to be straight. Right? That's din lachatchila. Vishel para pasul bikol gavna. But if it comes from a cow or an ox, it's pasul lagamre. It doesn't even help you. If you don't have anything better, don't even bother to use it because you're not yotzei at all. Okay, it's probably worse. You're going to fool people. And it's just, you're turning the halacha into a little bit of a joke. So it's better not to blow. Right, and it's because the Torah calls it a keren and not a shofar. Now, v'chein, similarly, karnei rov achayel shehem etzem echad, ve'ein lehem mibifnim zachrut psulim. Same thing, any shofar from most animals, if you take their horns, it's one solid piece of shofar, one solid mass, and it doesn't have any marrow or anything you clean out from the inside. So those are psulim. That's mi'ikar adin. And again, if you don't have it, if you're gonna, it doesn't pay. If you don't have a kosher shofar that comes, right? The lashon of shofar is hollow. That's what the word itself means, like a shofaret, like a tube. But if you, that this is an ikar, this is one of the mi'ikar halacha. If all you have is a solid shofar from another animal, it's a solid horn, and you want to, you know, drill out the middle, it doesn't help you. Don't bother to do it, because you won't be yotzei at all. It's not like a machloka type of thing, and it's not a hit or mitzvah. It's a mikar din. Okay. Some point out if you have to choose between a goat and some other chaya, it's better to pick a goat because that's closer to the family of a sheep. Okay. Let's see. What else? Okay, let's keep going. V'chein, this is the Rama. Shofar mibehema temeya pasul. If you take any, don't take a shofar from any behema that's temeya, any non-kosher type, right? It has full hooves and it doesn't chew its cud. So any of these temeya animals, don't use it. Now some point out that it might, Mishnah Berurah, let's see.
Yeah.
I think as the Mishnah points out, that it still might, you still might be kosher. So therefore, if you have no choice, better to blow with it than not to blow it, but don't say a bracha. So this is an important chumrah, la halacha of the Rama, but not everyone agrees. So if you have no choice, this halacha is not 100%. So therefore, it's not a straightforward 100%. So you have no choice. Again, I don't know. Not too much nowadays live in such a situation. You have to worry about it. Okay. And everyone agrees, of course, if it's a nevela or a trefa, of course it's okay. If you find a dead ram on the street, right, and you can just take its horns off and it's 100% kosher. Because it comes from a kosher animal. It doesn't matter that it's a nevela, which means it died without shechita, or if it's a trefa, which means it has some kind of a pagum, or some kind of a problem in the body where we assume, there's a halachas of hilchas trefa, we'll get there soon, where it's not going to live within 12 months. That's the general assumption. Okay, base. Hagozel shofar vitaka bo, a person steals a shofar and uses it to blow with. A yotze? Yatza afilo lo nityashua be'alim imenu. You're 100% yotze, even though you did a shinui with it, even though they were, even whether you did or didn't, it makes no difference. You're yotze, and even if they were not miyayish, they didn't give up hope. They said, "I'm going to find it." You're 100% yotze, because you're not using the shofar per se to use that specific item for the action of the mitzvah. You're just using the voice, the sound from the shofar, and the sound, we say, there's no gezel on a sound. It's a technicality. But yes, it's disgusting, it's wrong, you're not supposed to steal, and if you do it, you don't say a bracha. Okay, we don't say a bracha. And that's not what God wants. But technically, you are yotze. And it's different than lulav and matzah and sitzis, because those you're actually using the actual item for the mitzvah. Okay. Now, what about taking a shofar from your friend without him knowing about it? So the poskim say you're allowed to, because everybody wants everyone to use their items for a mitzvah. That's the general assumption. Again, there's always exceptions, so it's always better to ask, and it's better to ask anyway, proper behavior. But if he's not around and you have no choice, and this is the only way you're going to do the mitzvah, then I'd rather take a less mahadar shofar than borrow, maybe, but okay, that's what to argue about. But anyways, you are yotze, and you would say a bracha, and you would use it for all 100 kolos. Even though you only need 30 to be yotze, we assume your friend's going to want you to use it for all 100 as well. And for a Sfardim, it's 101. Gimel. We'll see later. Taka b'shofar shel avodas kochavim shel Yisrael lo yatza. Now let's say you have a shofar that was used for avodah zarah and it was owned by a Jew, then you can't use it. Lo yatza. Even if you blew from it, you're not yotze at all. She'ena b'teila olamit. Because it's Asr Behana, and there's no way to undo it. Any Avodah Zarah that belongs to a Jew, you can't undo it anymore. V'chatute michtat shi'ure. So therefore, since you can't undo it, and it's asur behana, it's as if it has no shiur, it has no dimension to it. There's no physical dimension to it. And we know you can't be yotzei with the shofar unless it's going to be at least a minimal amount. We're going to get to that shortly. So it needs to be a certain length. There's a shiur to a shofar for it to be kosher. And since it's as if it doesn't exist because it's asur behana and you can never undo it, so therefore, it's as if it has no length, and you can't be yotze with it. Now, what are we talking about? What is avodas kochavim? For example, someone bows down to a shofar. You do have that too. Or a cow. Person bows down and worships a cow or an ox or whatever the animal is. We're talking about sheep, right? So you bow down to sheep, and then that would be. That's what you call avodah. It was served for avodah zara. Also, if you use it as part of the avodah zara service, let's say you're blowing the shofar in order for the actual service of avodah zara, that would be a case of avodah zara. We're going to see about takrovit in a moment. So that's, I'm trying to make that distinction. That's going to be different. Aval b'shel avodas kochavim shel ovid kochavim. But now, if it's used for avodah zara, like you bow down to it, and it's or you blew with it for the ceremony, and it belonged to a non-Jew, v'chein v'mishamshei avodas kochavim shel oved kochavim, or it's used just for shimush. I don't know the best example, but I don't know. You used it to hold up a cup of wine. I don't know. Lots of examples, some kind of a usage for the avodah zara, but it's not part of the avodah zara itself. So then, lo yitka, you're not allowed to blow from it lechatchila. V'im takabo, but if you did blow from it at the end of the day, yatsa, you were yotze. So lechatchila, you can't, but if you did it, you have no choice. That's the only one available. You are yotze. V'hu shel now. The reason is because if it's a avodah zara that belongs to a non-Jew, the non-Jew could undo it and make it 100% kosher and no longer an iser hana. Now this is v'hu shelo nitka ben liskot bo. But the Jew has to be careful when he grabs it and takes it. So if he's just borrowing it, so then he's still going to belong to the non-Jew. But if let's say he finds it somewhere on the street and it became hefker, if he picks it up, he has to pick it up and make sure he has in mind, I'm not owning it now. Because once he owns it, if it becomes avodah zara, belonging to a Jew, even though he didn't use it, and that wasn't his kavana, but lamaisa, at the end of the day, it is avodah zara, and he's holding it, he owns it, now he can no longer ever undo it anymore. So the same thing, if you had a kavana, oh, great, I found it, I'm going to pick it up, now it's my shofar, and too late, now you can never use it anymore. So at the end of the day, technically, it is avodah zara, owned by a Jew, and that's it.
Game
over, exactly. And some say, even if it belongs to a non-Jew, you can't use it. Because technically, right now, the reasoning of this, again, it's not, this is a chumrah of the Ramah. Mikar din, the halacha doesn't follow this Ramah unless we try and keep it. And besides, we're trying not to use avodah zara whatsoever. Just an added layer of we're trying to avoid it. But b'dyeved, the halacha is everyone follows the Shulchan Aruch. The chumrah of the Ramah is even if it belongs to a non-Jew, not to use it unless the non-Jew undid it from avodah zara before Yom Tov started, because once Yom Tov started, this is a shofar once the Yom Tov starts, it became an item that cannot be used. Let's see, are we done? Fine, let me just read Dalet as it continues. Shofar shel tikrovo d'avodah kochavim, afilu haya shel oved kochavim shetaka bo, lo yatza, mishum de'ena betela olamit. Anything that was used as part of it was actual sacrifice, and brought for, you brought the actual shofar. And I don't know, let's say you burnt the animal while you shechted the animal, you burnt the animal, while you did some kind of tikrovet, while the shofar was still attached to the animal, and that's the animal that you brought, let's say the sheep, you brought that sheep, you shechted it l'shem, and that particular avodah zarah is done with, but you offered, again, every avodah zarah has its own rules, but you offered that shofar, attached or unattached to that sheep, and now that since that was used for this to be sacrificed and offered to that avodah zarah, you can no longer be yotze, even if it was owned by a non-Jew, and that can never be undone. All right.